Hi, this is Janice Torres from Yo Quiero Dinero. From a local business to a global corporation, partnering with Bank of America gives your operation access to exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America N.A. Copyright 2024.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Daily Tech News Show is powered by you. To find out more, head to dailytechnewsshow.com/support.
This is the Daily Tech News for Tuesday, June 26th, 2018 in Los Angeles. I'm Tom Merritt.
And from Studio Feline, I'm Sarah Lane.
And we're very excited to have with us today Ms. Luria Petrucci. You might remember her as Callie Lewis as well. Luria, welcome back to the show.
I'm so happy to be here. I missed you.
Oh, we missed you too. It's been too long, but you are killing it over there with Live Streaming Pros and Geeks Life and more to come.
Yes.
Very happy to see that.
Thank you.
Well, we're going to talk with Luria a little bit about 5G and whether it's a good for anything or too expensive in a little bit. But our producer, Roger Chang, has put together a fine list of other elements of the show as well. Thank you, Roger.
Yes, and you're about to transition to them or segue in a minute.
See, a good producer reminds me that. Let's start with a few tech things you should know.
Very seamless, guys. The Google Home now habla español. The Google Assistant has supported Spanish for some time, but it's now available through the Home Mini, and the Home Max after rolling out over the last couple of weeks. Three localized versions of Spanish are available, one for Spain, one for Mexico, and one for the U.S. Google's also launching the Spanish-enabled smart devices in Mexico starting today. The company announced earlier this year it would be adding 22 new languages total to Assistant by the end of 2018.
Muy bien. Oculus is expanding in Europe, Canada, and the UK, opening up online purchases for the Oculus Go and shipping the devices that may have been ordered already, bringing the device to over 300 physical stores. Oculus Go was first announced back in October, and now it's coming to other parts of the world.
Apple released the first public beta of iOS 12 for members of Apple's beta testing program. iOS 12 includes new features like group FaceTime, local multiplayer shared AR experiences, new Animoji, even a new Memoji feature. Apple also opened up a public beta for macOS Mojave, which includes a new dark mode, redesigned app store, new Finder view, and more.
Let's talk about Wi-Fi. We're finally getting a little update to Wi-Fi security. The Wi-Fi Alliance began certifying products that support WPA 3. That's the successor to WPA 2. That security protocol has been in use since 2004. So if 14 years of WPA 2 is enough, WPA 3 comes with additional protections for devices connected over Wi-Fi that make it harder for people to crack passwords. One of the things you could do with WPA 2 was pull the encrypted traffic offline and start hammering it with a brute force attack. You will not be able to do that as easily with WPA3. There's also limits of what data hackers can even see, even if they do attempt to crack it. New routers and gadgets that support WPA3 will get these new protections, and your older devices could get them as well, your existing devices, if the manufacturer updates it. Devices that support WPA3 also will connect with devices that use WPA2. So if you get a new router with WPA3, you don't have to replace everything else in your house if it works with WPA2.
My first reaction was, yay, is my Wi-Fi faster? No. But I mean, obviously, new protections are great. When it comes to new devices, that's one thing. But the router that I currently use is quite old. We're going on a decade, even though it chugs along. I don't hold out a lot of hope that the firmware is going to be updated for this.
Well,
probably not.
Yeah. Probably not to WPA3 anyway.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah. I mean, Luria, do you feel like running out and getting a new router as soon as these hit the shelves?
You know, obviously there's a ton of security conversation. Like this year is the year of security across the board. Like everybody's talking about security and privacy and all of this stuff, right? I don't see, you know, this particular thing being something that everyone does. Like it's going to take years for everybody to kind of move to these new devices, except for Sarah, who's ready to should have probably upgraded a couple of years ago. But but yeah, you know, I think there will be probably a lot of news stories, PSAs, things like that about it. So I see that coming. So more people will probably be aware of it, but I don't know that people are going to be really motivated to do that.
I wish that I could disagree with you because they should.
I know, right?
They should be. And we did have, you know, we had the attacks recently that sort of encouraged people to update their firmware. And I don't even think those attacks, the VPN filter attacks, probably got as many people to update their firmware as they should have.
I mean, I was listening to those PSAs in the car and I was like, meh. I mean, even, you know, me, I know the importance of all of it. You know, it was just like, takes time. We're busy.
Yeah. And you should do it.
Yes.
but you should also floss, and you should not go swimming an hour after you eat. And we all know these things and we break them. That said, it is important. And, mm-hmm. And so I don't know. I mean, I get what you're saying. I would encourage everyone to take that as a warning and go check your firmware today. But WPA3 is not that, it's not a firmware update that you absolutely have to have. And I think you're right. As far as the slowdown of the rollout goes, this isn't even an essential security update that you need to have to protect yourself. I wonder the last thing I wonder about this before we move on, I wonder if you're going to see the mesh network routers get in on this, because they're, one of their advantages is they update your firmware for you so you don't have to think about it, like the Eero's of the world. So I'm curious if they'll be rolling out WPA3 as well. Haven't heard anything yet.
And how quickly ISPs will actually implement that, their free routers that they put in people's places. So.
Absolutely.
I always wondered why the swimming after eating was a thing where no one ever says things like, don't pole vault for an hour after eating.
That's a good point, Sarah.
Or any other exercise.
Security protocol. That's why.
Got it. Mozilla announced it's testing a Firefox feature called Firefox Monitor, which is a security tool that uses Troy Hunt's Have I Been Pwned? If you haven't heard of this database, it lets users search by their email address from within the browser and possibly set up alerts if your account might be compromised. Firefox browser will let users know the extent of the personal data exposed and offer tips on how to secure their account if there's an issue. The Firefox Monitor tool rolls out next week to around 250,000 users. 1Password is also integrating the Have I Been Pwned database into the breach reports feature of both its web-based version and eventually its desktop app as well.
Yeah, this is a cool tool because it will allow you just by email address to find out if there's a possible breach. Now, just because your email address is in a breach doesn't mean you've been breached. Maybe you were good and changed your password since then. But it's good to know this and having it not only easily available from within the browser, but also being able to set up those alerts will be really cool as well.
I'm just bummed because I just switched from 1Password to LastPass, so.
You know, I meant to look this up earlier. I felt like LastPass had added some kind of database integration before as well. Yeah, I'll have to check on that in a second. After losing its license to operate in London last September, Uber has some good news. A judge has granted Uber a provisional 15-month license. One of the issues was how Uber was monitoring and reporting complaints on the platform and how it shares those complaints to the police in cases when they related to criminal activity. Another issue was if Uber had been trying to evade regulatory scrutiny with that gray ball software. Transport for London said it will, quote, closely monitor Uber's adherence to the regulations and swiftly take action if they fail to meet the required standards. Uber, for its part, said it will, quote, continue to work with TFL to address their concerns and earn their trust. So the short version of all of this is Uber says, we're really, really sorry. The court says, all right, you got 15 months to prove you've changed. And TFL says, we are going to be watching you very closely during those 15 months.
Well, Uber has very little incentive not to play very nicely. It's a huge market in London, or was anyway, before the whole thing was put on hold. The fact that Uber appealed this is not surprising in the least. I think Uber initially in its appeal asked for 18 months, got 15, but that's a year plus. I I'm sure there are catastrophes that have yet to be unveiled with any company the size of Uber, but it sounds like for the most part, the city and the company, are going to move forward.
Well, and keep in mind, Uber didn't have to stop providing service in London. Even when London said they were revoking the license, because they appealed, they were allowed to continue to operate during the appeal.
Right.
So this is very good news for Derek Khosrowshahi, who is basically trying to say, look, we know. We know that the folks under Travis Kalanick did a lot of bad things. We're not going to do those anymore. And they spent most of the court case not defending their past, but admitting, yeah, the company broke the law back then. Here's what we're doing now. To make sure that, for instance, they used to allow people to test their eyesight with an app that had not been proven to really be reliable. And Uber is like, we're not allowing that anymore. We got rid of that. We're making them go to an actual eye doctor or provide an eye doctor certificate from the NHS, stuff like that. So they've worked really hard to change that.
The Verge reports on a new security camera from Telecom NTT East and startup EarthEyes called AI Guardman. Using open source machine learning from Carnegie Mellon, it looks for suspicious movements in a store and then alerts a shopkeeper when it thinks it's detected it. NTT East admits it's not perfect yet, acknowledges that common errors include misidentifying indecisive customers. Maybe they seem suspicious, but they just don't know what they want. Or maybe employees restocking shelves. No studies have been done on its accuracy either. NTT hopes to introduce it into 10,000 stores in the next 3 years. AR Guardman goes on sale in Japan in July for $2,150 and then $40 per month afterwards.
So this feels like it might be a little problematic, yeah?
Very problematic. I can see all kinds of problems coming from this. Like, because you know how we trust our Google Maps or Apple Maps and just drive off the edge of a cliff, right?
Well, we don't, but yes, I know what you mean. Yeah.
We as in the, royal everybody, silly people. But they, we trust technology so much sometimes that I think that could cause a whole lot of like lawsuits of being accused of things and that didn't actually happen when people get a little power hungry because of that.
Well, and I mean, there's so many examples, we could bring up of someone saying, hey, I was, unfairly targeted because somebody, was confused by something that set them off, but was totally inaccurate. And that's completely unfair. What is a suspicious movement?
Right.
If I know that, maybe I'll try not to do it if I think that the software exists. But otherwise, even the company saying, yeah, this is, it has a long way to go, is like, okay.
That's the problem, is marketing this at the same time admitting we don't really know how accurate it is. I mean, on the one hand, I want to say this is a tool like any other tool, and it can be put in place badly or it can be used well. If used well, you just use it to alert you that, like, hey, somebody might be acting suspicious over there. Keep an eye. And you don't do anything about it except maybe be a little more alert, and stop working on the other thing and keep an eye out. That's no different than just keeping an eye on the cameras in the shop. But if people, like you say, are going to use this to, as they're like, well, the computer said that you were doing something suspicious, so get out of my store.
Right,
that can cause a problem, especially when machine learning algorithms have been known to adopt the biases of the data on which they were trained, which can pass human biases right into the machine learning.
Yeah, I think on the surface, if you consider this something that could eventually keep someone's eyes being trained on security cameras all the time, not to miss anything, great. That saves a step for anybody working in a store, because there are suspicious, things that happen in stores. I mean, things get stolen and that sort of thing. So it's not a bad idea. It just seems like, it's rife with issues until it's working better.
The world seems captivated by IGTV. I see lots of people talking about it all over the place, but Instagram is not resting on its laurels. Video calling is rolling out to Android and iOS users. They announced this at F8. It's coming to you today. Lets up to 4 friends talk together through Instagram Direct. You can even keep looking at other parts of Instagram while you're on the call if you want to browse through Instagram together. SimilarWeb told TechCrunch it estimates the average time spent per user on Instagram has risen from 29 minutes a day in September September to 55 minutes a day now. Instagram also now divides the Explore tab by topic and hashtag, and also effects from partners like BuzzFeed or Ariana Grande will show up in stories if you follow their account, but they won't show up if you don't. So only the folks you're interested in will add these kind of third-party filters and effects to your stories. Loria, I know IGTV is of interest to you in particular. What do you make of all these Instagram moves?
Instagram is killing it, to be honest. Like, I don't use Instagram as much as I should. I am about to, like, they are motivating me to have to use that platform. I think the killer feature of this particular option is being able to browse while chatting.
Hi, this is Janice Torres from Yo Quiero Dinero. From a local business to a global corporation, partnering with Bank of America gives your operation access to exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America N.A. Copyright 2024.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Stripe Tap to Pay on iPhone came along and changed everything. With Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. No more juggling different methods. Just a simple tap on my iPhone and transactions are complete. What's truly remarkable is how Stripe caters to all my customers' preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Stripe ensures a smooth checkout experience every time. Setting up Stripe was a breeze, taking just minutes to get up and running. From local markets to global retailers, Stripe helped me expand my reach and grow my business with ease. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
Huge, good move right there. But then, you know, IGTV, like, we're about to kick off an experiment with Geeks Life vertical video across the board. So, you know, vertical video and Instagram's options, they're rocking it. And I think it's, you know, it's definitely not going to take over YouTube or change YouTube's trajectory, but I think it can make a big impact in the industry.
Yeah. And I hear just anecdotally, I don't know if you guys feel this the same, people talking about Instagram as the safe social network, as the one they don't mind being on.
What, safe?
Well, safe may be the wrong word, but the one that doesn't bug you, like the one that you're like, you know what? Sometimes I just do Instagram because I don't get so angry or upset or et cetera, et cetera.
People do get angry and upset about the other platforms.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I know for me, I spend a small amount of time on Facebook just to kind of keep up, but I don't launch Facebook on a daily basis. I launch Instagram 5-10 times a day. And it's usually kind of mindless. Oh, I have like a minute to spare type thing. Like, what are the new photos? I'm not really participated in it, any live stuff. And I don't even really look at all the Instagram stories, but there's a lot of volume there. I know that that's my go-to. If I want to know something about the news, I'm going to launch Twitter. You know, this is obviously all happening from my mobile, but I use Instagram a lot. I post less, but I absorb more. So that's where that time is coming from.
Very, very cool. Well, I Instagrammed that conversation. Just so
you know. Is that what you were busy doing?
Yeah.
Very, very cool.
Folks, if you want to get all the tech headlines each day in about 5 minutes, be sure to subscribe to Daily Tech Headlines. Comes your way as a podcast on the Amazon Echo and the Google Home, dailytechheadlines.com. So Luria suggested we sort of check in on 5G to see how it's doing, because there's so much hype about it. And it is coming. By the end of this year, Verizon and AT&T will have test markets out and available. We might actually get phones that can use it by next year. Up until then, they'll probably be doing hotspots, little pucks, mobile hotspots that you can use with it. But there's a lot of controversy still about the cost of rolling it out and whether it actually can return on its investment. There's different views on this. NTT Docomo's CTO Seso Inoue in 2016 at IEEE in Kuala Lumpur said that's all a myth. 5G will use existing towers and backhaul. It's not going to be more expensive than LTE. In fact, it should be cheaper. Verizon's soon-to-be CEO Hans Vestberg estimated the cost at $200 to $400 per home passed. He called that massively cheaper than fiber, although fiber, depending on the estimate, is anywhere from $400 to $700 per home passed. So it kind of depends on what you're talking about. If it's compared to LTE, there's more room for disagreement. If it's compared to fiber rollout, it probably is cheaper. And millimeter wave reach is proving to be a little greater than people originally thought. It's about 300 to 700 meters. Previous estimates were for 200 meters. That means you can have the towers farther apart and still provide good coverage. But the problems with 5G is the signals tend to be interfered with by trees and rain. That means you have to have different equipment to battle that interference. That requires different locations. So even if you can keep them farther apart, you might have to put them in different places than LTE. So maybe Inoue isn't quite as right about using existing towers. And Frank Rayall, who blogs about this sort of thing and is a consultant, believes that the coverage problems will mean operators will have to pay more to deploy 5G than they did 4G. So there's not agreement about this, Luria. But, you know, in the end, we all know where the cost will be passed along to, and that's us.
Of course. And I think that's what most people are concerned with. You know, whether they have to... They were talking about infrastructure being implemented across the U.S. Because the units will be smaller, they could attach them to things like lampposts and stop signs and things like that. So you're not putting these massive towers in, like, right outside your home, which would be a great thing if they could use infrastructure that already exists, which would lessen the cost. But at the same time, a lot of those would have to be, you know, there. And so the interference with the stop sign and all of that stuff, like, that concerns me tremendously. I don't see, you know, us being able to kind of walk down the street very effectively and still be able to have that connection. But, you know, I asked my community what their thoughts were and how excited I was. Expecting them to be very excited, very, you know, like, yes, let's get 5G. And across the board, they were like, meh. Like, I'd rather stick with 4G and I'd rather keep my money in my pocket.
So that's the other question. I mean, 5G theoretically can go up to 10 gigabits per second. We're not going to see that. Just like with LTE, we didn't see the maximum speeds out the gate. But out of the gate, we should probably see around 400 megabits per second. And the other big thing that 5G can deliver is reduced latency and reduced lag. The wow numbers are things like 1,000 times more bandwidth per unit area, ability to stream 8K video in 3D, download a 3D movie in about 6 seconds when it would take 6 minutes on 4G. But if your community is sort of like, okay, but I don't have any 8K videos, what does it take to get people more excited? Because granted, I remember some people being skeptical about LTE. They're like, I'm not sure what I need it for. And then HD video streaming came along and people are like, oh, I get what I need it for. Is 4K video streaming compelling enough for people to want to do that? Or are we starting to reach the limits of what we need bandwidth for on mobile? And we're going to need to push what the devices do more into that desktop area for people to say, oh no, I really need to be able to have that higher speed.
Yeah. You know, Dave Peterson in my community, he asked the question, like, what are our apps? Like, we can't do anything else with our phones. And I said, well, you know, I think if we look at the history, like when we had the iPhone 3G, we had certain types of apps. Now the apps have expanded and they've built on top of what the capabilities are. So I think it's hard, just like Steve Jobs said, like, people don't know what they want until they see it, right? I know that quote is incorrect. I paraphrased there.
Yeah,
so don't hate on me here. But, you know, like, People don't exactly know exactly what they can get or what can happen until they see it in action. So I think once it starts to roll out and apps actually create new innovative ways of using all of this data, that's when we'll start to see the interest increase.
Also, I know one of the pitches for 5G is that your network sensors, your Internet of Things, can have their connection built directly in.
Yeah.
There's some debate about whether that's really going to happen or we'll keep using Wi-Fi, especially WPA3 has a new part of its spec that allows you to scan a QR code with your phone and connect a device without, to make it easier to connect these devices. So a lot of people still think Wi-Fi, especially in the enterprise, will be used for that. But there may be other mobile devices, and to your point, there may be other uses that 5G allows for sensors and Internet of Things that we just haven't just taken advantage of yet because we didn't have the bandwidth to do it. There's also the fact that there's a 90% reduction in network energy usage. There may be some savings there. If you're in an area of the country where you only have one ISP provider and the best they can give you is 40 megabits per second and Verizon rolls in with 5G to your home, you will definitely replace that cable provider. So there's lots, it's hard to tell because there's lots of different aspects of this that the companies are banking on.
What do you think, Sarah?
Well, whenever I see like you could stream 8K video in 3D, a 3D movie would be downloaded in 6 seconds. I don't personally need that right now.
Yet.
Never say never, but that's just not something I'm like, yeah, 6 seconds. However, if that sort of thing is 6 seconds and that's a parameter for how, we can look forward to faster coverage overall, then that means a lot of the stuff that I'm currently doing that takes a few seconds is more instantaneous. It's kind of like when, a web page used to launch, however slowly it did, and images loaded, one by one on a web page. It's like, now when that happens, we all go, what's going on? Because we're used to everything loading instantaneously. So that's what I kind of take from all of this. It's going in the right direction. But yeah, as you mentioned, infrastructure issues and passing the non-savings along to customers is, we get this every time.
And gamers like the latency and the lag reductions. It may be that 5G catches on for lots of little reasons, if it catches on. And that's why it doesn't look like there's an obvious one big reason for it right now. So
I don't see why it wouldn't catch on eventually.
Yeah,
it's not going to go away. Something has to come out, right?
Well, Verizon and AT&T are spending a lot of money to put it in, and so is NT Docomo, and so are companies in Korea, SK Hynix and others. So it's going in. They're going to do their darndest to convince us. And usually what happens is, early adopters pick up stuff because it's new. And then we start to see what it's good for. And then everybody goes, that's pretty cool. Maybe I should get that too. So,
well, thanks to everybody who participates in our subreddit. You can submit stories. You can also vote on stories submitted by others in our community. DailyTechNewsShow.reddit.com. We're also on Facebook, facebook.com/groups/DailyTechNewsShow.
And we also get your emails. And sometimes we read them, like now.
That is truth. Timmy D writes, he was talking about Good Day Internet, which, by the way, if you aren't familiar with Good Day Internet, it's our pre and post show where we talk about all sorts of things and often relate to the show in general in an expanded way. Timmy D says, on episode 3310, you were talking about whether things are generally improving for humans as tech advances. 5G could be part of that. And while Tom was saying, yeah, Roger was a little bit more pessimistic. The group, gapminder.org, has some really interesting TED Talks and data tools on their site that show globally how things definitely do get better as time goes on. The patriarch of the group wrote a really interesting book called Factfulness that talks about why humans tend to get things so wrong. Their recommendations remind me of how Tom tackles breaking news without getting wrapped up in the drama and the hype. No offense to Roger, of course. Anyway, I thought you'd appreciate what they said. Thanks for being awesome.
Interesting. Although factfulness just sounds like truthiness to me.
Yeah.
Also, I take mild offense. But, I'm just teasing.
Well, I think that Timmy was saying, hey, we all, have complicated feelings about this. Here's some more information resources.
Yeah, it's natural for humans to think a little negatively because it's an evolutionary advantage. If you're worried about the wildebeest being, you know, or the lion getting to you, you're more likely to survive because you won't put yourself in harm's way. So you have to consciously overcome that to be able to see what's really going on sometimes.
Well, thanks to Timmy D for writing in, and thanks to everybody who writes us at feedback@dailytechnewsshow.com. And special thanks to Laura Petrucci for being with us. This is the first time you and I have been on DTNS together, so very special day for me. It's so nice to see you again, and I know everybody was really excited to have you on today. Let folks know what you've been up to and how they can keep up with your work.
Yeah, so first of all, thank you for hanging out with me. Thank you for having me. It's so good to be back. We are streaming live on Twitch 5 days a week and doing uploaded videos on YouTube twice a week as well. So, and IGTV coming up.
Vertical videos. We're doing it.
Oh boy, I can't believe I'm doing it.
Do you have that same thing that we do where you're like, were trained to hate vertical videos?
I have been preaching. Like, I teach live video on Live Streaming Pros, right? And I always say, turn your freaking phone landscape. And now I'm testing it. I got to see if this is the future or not, or if things are changing or not. That's what I do. So.
Exactly. You know, when film went from black and white to color, it changed lighting and everything. So it's
TVs
just,
went from square to
16:9. Widescreen. Yeah. It's always changing. You know what always is going up, we hope, is the number of patrons we have. Right now, we have 6 more patrons than last month. Just need 4 more to make my birthday dreams come true. So check out all the perks. One of the perks, if you back us at any level, is you get access to Good Day Internet, the full pre and post show plus DTNS all in one file as an RSS feed through Patreon. You can check that out and find out all the other perks for joining our community at patreon.com/DTNS.
Our email address, once again, feedback@dailytechnewsshow.com. We love your feedback. We're live Monday through Friday as well. If you can join us, great. 4:30 p.m. Eastern, 20:30 UTC is the time. Find out more at dailytechnewsshow.com/live.
Scott Johnson will be with us tomorrow. We'll talk to you then.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Stripe Tap to Pay on iPhone came along and changed everything. With Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. No more juggling different methods. Just a simple tap on my iPhone and transactions are complete. What's truly remarkable is how Stripe caters to all my customers' preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Stripe ensures a smooth checkout experience every time. Setting up Stripe was a breeze, taking just minutes to get up and running. From local markets to global retailers, Stripe helped me expand my reach and grow my business with ease. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
Hi, this is Matt
and Sean
from Two Black Guys
with Good Credit. If you own or operate a business, whether it's a local operation or a global corporation, partnering with Bank of America could be your smartest move.
By teaming with Bank of America, you'll enjoy exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter.
Position your business to capitalize on opportunity in a moment's notice.
Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America, N.A., copyright 2024.